This evening, we're continuing our series, sermon series in 2 Timothy, Paul's second letter to Timothy and his final letter before being put to death for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And this evening, we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 18, but we're going to read beginning at verse 8. So hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. This is the word of God. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the words of life. We thank you for these words that you spoke through the pen of the Apostle Paul. And we pray that you would minister to us through them, that you would speak to us. And to that end, Lord, I pray that you would be with me as I speak, that you would give me clarity, and that you would give me power by the Holy Spirit to speak your words, that we might be built up and strengthened in the Lord Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, there's a proverb that you probably know. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Perhaps you have friends like that, that in your darkest, most forsaken moments came to you and were there for you. And maybe you know that you have brothers, you have people that are closely related to you by flesh, or maybe people that you thought were very close to you as friends, but in your hour, they forsook you. And you might know the sting and the discouragement of being forsaken. But you may know the encouragement of that friend who sticks closer than a brother. And here, the Apostle Paul is speaking about both of these experiences. He's in prison, as you remember, and in the conditions are fairly bleak. It's not the house arrest that he was under a couple years prior in Rome, but he is in what is essentially a dungeon and in chains, awaiting his trial, which he knows is sure to end in his execution. And while he's there, he is forsaken by some brothers that he thought were brothers, and he mentions Phygellus and Hermogenes. And in this letter, you know, we get the sense that you know, we don't hear him complaining about the conditions of his prison or the fact that he's in chains. In fact, you know, as we heard this morning, he exults in the strength of the Lord Jesus, even in the midst of his chains. But in this, we can hear that probably what's most difficult for him is being forsaken by these supposed brothers in Asia who have turned away from him since they heard he was in chains. So we don't want to be associated with this Paul who's suffering. And yet in this passage, we have contrasted Onesiphorus. And here Paul shows us, and the word of God shows us that Paul was greatly encouraged by this friend, Onesiphorus. And as Paul is writing to Timothy, he's telling Timothy and encouraging Timothy, this is the kind of friend that I expect you to be. Don't be ashamed of my chains like Phygellus and Hermogenes. But your ministry to me is greatly needed. Remember Onesiphorus and how he has ministered to me. And Timothy, he's going to write at the end of the letter, I want you to come. Try to come before winter so I can be ministered. And in this passage, we are reminded of the importance of that kind of friendship. Friendship, which is there for brothers in their hour of need, in their hour of forsakenness, in their hour of imprisonment. And we see particularly that Onesiphorus demonstrates what Christian love looks like. And he shows this first in his presence, and second in his refreshment of Paul, and lastly in his service. So I want to look at how Onesiphorus models for us Christian love, what Christian friendship looks like. Well, first we see that Onesiphorus ministers to Paul by his physical presence. He's there physically and personally with Paul. Onesiphorus came from Asia to be present with him in the body. He could have written Paul a letter, and he could have encouraged him through that. He could have sent money to Paul to care for his needs. And those things would no doubt have been good. But Onesiphorus takes the journey to be present with Paul. And, you know, that's really important to remember. There's nothing that can replace the physical presence. There's nothing that can replace the kind of ministry that happens when you are physically present with a brother or a sister, the kind of encouragement. And that's a good reminder to us, particularly in our age of social media and digital communication, where you know, it can be easy to substitute physical presence with those things. And that technology is not bad, and it's useful. But we're reminded here that Paul was encouraged by his presence. We also see here that Onesiphorus took great pains to be present with Paul. It actually cost Onesiphorus something. First, he had to travel the distance from Asia to visit Paul. And then we're told that when he arrived in Rome, he searched earnestly for the Apostle Paul and found him. And this is the days before cell phones and GPS. You know, Onesiphorus said Paul was not texting him the address of the prison. But he shows up in this great city, and he goes looking for Paul. And he had to leave behind a family to do this. We hear about Onesiphorus' family. He leaves them behind in order to be present with the Apostle Paul. And then he puts his life in danger. You know, think for a moment. How exactly would have Onesiphorus searched diligently for the Apostle Paul if he wasn't using the phone or email? But he would have gone to door by door. Have you seen Paul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, the bondservant of Christ? may have gone to the authorities asking, I'm looking for the prison where Paul is put. And think about how that put his own life in risk. Some of you were at the presentation that Mike McCabe gave last week, and he mentioned one of the brothers who went looking for the or visiting and inquiring after the pastor had put in jail, and then they were put in jail for 2 days. They were brought in and interrogated because of their association with this man who is considered to be an enemy of the state. Well, Onesiphorus puts himself at risk. Paul says, he was not ashamed of my chains, and he was not afraid of the cost, that it cost him something. And that's why Paul here prays. He says, Lord, grant mercy to the family of Onesiphorus. Now, what did he have in mind? Probably he was thinking, Lord, keep them safe in his absence, Lisa was just requesting mercies in Dan's absence, right? Keep them safe. And Lord, let him preserve his life. Let him return back to the family safely. Show him mercy. So Onesiphorus ministers through his presence, and there's a cost. You know, that reminds us that the ministry of presence costs something. It costs time. Sometimes it can be something as small as a tank of gas. But we are called to minister to one another. And that ministry of presence is a blessing to the body. So who are those brothers and sisters in your field who are alone? Those who may be at the hospital, or maybe they're at home, they're homebound because of a physical condition or age. Minister to them through your presence. I'm often encouraged to see the saints here at Knox and how they will often visit those who are in the hospital, to visit the shut-ins. And I won't embarrass anyone here by naming names, but there are here members of the body that I know regularly visit the homebound. That ministry of presence that demonstrates the love of Christ. Well, Onesiphorus also ministers to him through refreshment. Paul says, he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Refreshment. Refreshment, that is when you are weary and you're hungry. Think about a time that you have been working, maybe outside in the heat all day, and you come in, your body is sore and aching, and you sit down, and someone comes and brings you a glass of cold water or lemonade or iced tea, and you drink that down, and you find refreshment. It revives you. That's the word here, refreshment. It's reviving and encouragement. And Paul says, Onesiphorus refreshed me. How did he refresh him? Well, he would have refreshed him first through physical provision. Prisoners in that day did not have, in ancient Roman jails, did not have these great state-funded meals and cushy beds and exercise rooms. But Paul was chained in this dungeon with probably not very good provisions. And so he was dependent on the things that would have been brought to him by his friends. And so Onesiphorus comes and refreshes him, undoubtedly by providing physical provisions, maybe food, meals, maybe clothing that was needed. But he also refreshes him undoubtedly, spiritually, through his encouragement. Paul writes to the church at Rome. This is several years back when he's in Corinth. He's writing to Rome, and he tells them, "Pray for me that." He's in Jerusalem, and he says, "Pray for me that that I can be delivered from these trials here, among the Jewish authorities so that I can come be with you. And he says, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. How is he expecting to be refreshed? By the mutual upbuilding, by the sharing of gifts. You know, how did Onesiphorus administer to him? How did he refresh him? Perhaps singing hymns with him, reciting scripture and psalms, praying with the Apostle Paul, sharing with him the news of the things that the Lord is doing back in Ephesus, the way he's building his body and encouraging the saints over there. And think about how that would have warmed the heart and just given renewed strength to the Apostle Paul. Have you had that experience where you're just discouraged and you're generally weary in your spirit, and a brother or sister comes and visits you and they pray with you, and maybe they share something about what the Lord's been doing that has given them joy, and their joy and their words encourage you and stir you up. And that is what the ministry of faithful friends in Christ involves, refreshing one another. So, refresh one another. Visit one another when you're in the hospital. Visit the brothers and sisters who are discouraged or struggling or in need, and provide refreshment to them, not only through physical provision, but through spiritual encouragement. So Onesiphorus refreshes Paul, but we also see that he demonstrates his Christian friendship through service. And this is what Paul ends here. He says, "And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus." Now, why is Paul mentioning the service that he rendered at Ephesus? Because he wants Timothy to know how much he has been encouraged by the service, the shoulder-to-shoulder service of a brother. Onesiphorus was serving alongside Paul in Ephesus. Perhaps he was there providing paper for the letters that Paul was writing. Or perhaps he was one of the men helping provide a place for Paul to stay, or maybe arranging meals for Paul as he was ministering, preaching the gospel in Ephesus. Perhaps getting together with Paul early in the mornings to pray with him. But we're told that he rendered much service, and Timothy would have been there during those years and would have known that service. But Paul reminds him because he wants him to know that mutual service is a ministry, that it encourages him. And so you demonstrate your connection with the body, with brothers and sisters, and you encourage them as you serve the Lord Jesus alongside them. And Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, writes, "For God is not so unjust to overlook the love you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you do." See, the Christians that he was writing to there showed their love for Christ as they were serving the saints. So where does this faithful love come from? We see here in Onesiphorus this example of a man who encourages the Apostle Paul. He is a faithful friend, and the Lord uses to strengthen Paul in the midst of this imprisonment. And where does this love come from? Well, where does this friendship that's closer than brotherhood that come from? Well, it comes from love for the Lord Jesus. Did you hear that verse there in Hebrews? How you showed your love for the Lord, for the love you have shown for his name in serving the saints. You show your love through serving the saints. And this is because when you love the Lord Jesus, you love his body. You love his bride. Because your brother in Christ is part of the body of Christ. And this is what Jesus was getting at when he spoke the words that are echoed by Paul in his prayer here for Onesiphorus, when he says, "May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day." Well, you may remember that the Lord Jesus spoke about that day these words in Matthew 25. And he said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the saints with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him, he will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" And so, Onesiphorus, on that day, he's going to hear from the Lord Jesus, "Even as you were ministering to the Apostle Paul and they're in prison, you were visiting him there, giving him food and clothing and encouragement. Onesiphorus, you were doing that for me." So, love your brothers and sisters in Christ. As you love them, you're actually loving the Lord Jesus, who loved you, who brought you and redeemed you from the prison of sin and set your feet high up on a rock, gave you joy. So as you minister to your brothers, you are loving that Savior. And may he give us grace to love with that kind of love. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you for the great love that you have shown us in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the love that you pour in your people and for the opportunities that you give us to love our brothers and sisters, your body, to love them in your name. And we thank you for reminding us that even as we visit and care for and refresh your people, that we do it to you. And that you see. And so we pray that you indeed would strengthen us to encourage one another. And we ask these things that we might be built up and that your love might abound more and more in us. And it's in Jesus we pray. Amen.